How many of you believe that he's worthy? If you believe he's worthy, why are you going to hold his praise back? Why are you going to be... You don't need to go home with that praise. You need to go home and give him praise now. God woke you up this morning. Let you see a brand new day. Yeah, that's right. Oh, Jesus, blessed Savior, he's worthy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Again, we welcome you to the Crossroad Baptist Church, those that are joining online, those that are in here. It's always a joy when we can give God thanks and give him praise to honor him. And as we come today, we want to celebrate the goodness of God. Last Sunday, I had to listen in, but this Sunday, I'm here. Amen, amen. I want to just share with you from God's word one verse of scripture today from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I want to share the sermon today, Living the Strange Life. The strange life. It's strange. Amen. Look at somebody and say, it's strange. Yeah. Amen. You may be seated. Before I get into the message, I just want to thank the members of the church that have been praying for the family of Mrs. Estelle Wade, Evangelist Estelle Wade. Her memorial service was on yesterday in Roanoke. And just thank also the members that were able to attend and participate, encourage the family. I know to Z and the rest of the family, it was certainly an encouragement. Great service, great homegoing service. And certainly I know their family will miss her, but she's in a wonderful place called glory. Amen? Amen. So thank you all yesterday for recognizing the family and being there to support them. Also, we want to share with you that Deacon Alonzo Walthall will be memorialized on this coming Friday, September the 6th at 11 a.m. here at the Crossroad Baptist Church. They will have a family hour at the Heritage Funeral Home on Thursday night from 5 to 8, I believe it is, from 5 to 8. So asking that if you can get by to visit with the family, and of course asking all of our staff here to prepare for that service in celebration of one of our own that have served for a number of years here at our church. So please, please keep them in prayer, and please be there to support the family on this coming weekend. And as you notice, our church anniversary is coming up on the third Sunday, and we're excited about that. 150 years the Lord had blessed us, this church, born in the age of Reconstruction, where our nation was coming back together after slavery, after the Civil War. And members of this community came in and decided that they were going to have a church. And I just thank God for moving upon their hearts. We are standing on their shoulders. Never think that because we have something today that somebody didn't have to labor for it. I think this generation is so unappreciative of what others have done before them. But I want to give a shout out to those that are sleeping behind this church, because it's because of them and because of what they did that we were able to stand here today as a church of the living God. Amen? Amen. So we're going to be celebrating on the 15th, and that is the third Sunday. Pastor Daniel Watson will be delivering the morning message, and so we're excited about that. One other thing that we want to share with you also, that we have for those that are online, we have an online format for you to give. You can go to our website, or you can follow the QR code. I never thought I'd be able to say a QR code, but we have a QR code that you can give online to support our church and the efforts that we're promoting here, and as well as in here, we're tithing, giving to the Lord because we believe in God's word. Do we believe in God's word?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe in what God is doing and how he's saving souls each and every day. Each and every day. So this is a place of prayer. We pray for our nation. We pray for our children that are going back to school, those that are in college, and we ask God to be with them, to keep them safe. We never know when things will happen, and we have to pray for them. Pray for the leaders, Dr. Franklin, her work that she has at VUL. I mean, it's a work that we have to support and believe in because we support our future. Amen? So will you do that? Amen. I want to take a little quick survey. And my wife will probably be the first one to raise her hand. How many of y'all think that the pastor's a little bit strange? Now, you notice I raised my hand, right? I didn't say weird. I said strange. Unusual. When you think about being strange, it simply means that you stand out differently from everyone else. You and I know that we're not supposed to fit in with the crowd of this world because the lifestyle and what they support does not support what we believe in. And what I want us to do today is to think about what Jesus has said to us. You're not called to live what we might call a comfortable life and fit in to this world. As a matter of fact, we're warned by some of Christ's apostles, don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. So with that, Christ is calling us into something that is different. I don't think a lot of people are aware of that because they assume, well, if I accept Jesus, I can just simply do the same things I've been doing. In that case, you don't have a Lord. You have someone that's basically a genie, a magician, to follow you around and give you everything you want, do things that you want. But if you have a Lord, if you have God in your life, then your life will change dramatically. Dramatically. Your life will change. If you're carrying around the same burdens, then that means that your life has not really changed. The same anger, the same temper, the same lifestyle. In other words, what you've been doing, you're still doing. Then that really indicates that Christ has not made an impact on your life. If he is making an impact on your life, if you've been called to be his disciple, he's asking you to do something. What is that? Take up your cross and follow me. Taking up your cross means that we die to our own selfish ways. We give that up in order to live a new life for God. So let's dig into this. Some of you that play golf, you'll probably notice this little scene here. 15th hole over at Colonial. But it says life begins at the end of your, what? Comfort zone. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Where does your life start? When does it take on new meaning? A lot of people try new things all the time. You got these diet plans that tell you, hey, we'll give you a new life. No, they'll give you less weight, but not a new life. You've got these to-do things or these strategies that tell you, do this, and your life will change. And you do it. Come to find out years later, you just did something different, but it wasn't really bringing you new life. When you decide that you're going to step out of that comfort zone, that you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. By the way, For a disciple, they had to literally follow their teacher around from place to place. When you think about the 12 apostles, they followed Jesus everywhere he went. They ate with him, slept in places where he slept, went to different cities, visited different places, watched him do miracles. Why? Because they had to keep their mind occupied by the teacher. They couldn't say, hey, I want a leave of absence. I want to check out today and I'll join you next week. That wasn't the case. At one point, the Apostle Peter said, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. Imagine that. Imagine you and me. Imagine us now saying, I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to give up everything. Everything. Would you be willing to do that? Now, you and I know that the Lord really wants you to have your family. He wants you to have a roof over your head. He wants you to have these things. He certainly wants you to have a job. So when he talks about that kind of sacrifice, what he's saying is, spiritually, will you give me everything? Will you take up that cross and will you follow me into a new life? That's what we're committing to. And as I thought about this in preparation of the sermon, I had to think about where I am in my walk in Christ, and am I really following him every day, or have I found what we call a groove? Well, you just kind of fit in the groove and you just kind of go with the program and everything is okay. Because now you're in that groove. Now you're in that little mold of life. You say, oh, life is good. If your life is not uncomfortable at some point, you're probably not following Christ. I know this is a shock. I know. People want to hear good stuff. We want to hear happy sermons. I'm going to give you a happy sermon. But I'm also going to give you something that's going to confront you. Have we gotten too comfortable, too complacent, that our walk with God is now just something that we do? Show up on Sunday, put a little money in the offering, go home, and life the same. I want you to leave here today with your life radically changed. Matter of fact, at some point, I want to make you mad in this sermon. I want to get you to bristle up at me and say, oh, I can't stand him. Yeah, I think he's strange. Yeah. You know, Jesus did some strange things. He did some unusual things. He did what no other human ever did because he was the Son of God. Was Jesus a little bit strange? Yeah, unusual. Matter of fact, Nicodemus came to him at night and said, no one can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. What Jesus said actually made people upset because he didn't take his cue from the Sanhedrin or the leaders. He said, now you have heard it said by them of old, but I say, wait a minute, who are you, Jesus? When he got finished preaching, and got finished teaching, people said he taught with authority, with power. And then you know what else he did? He backed it up. This guy came to Jesus one day, and it was just a little strange. Everybody say strange. Guy came to Jesus one day, and he was laying on a mat, couldn't, you know, people had brought him there. He's on a mat. He couldn't give up. And Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven you. Oh, and the people got mad. The leaders got mad. They got upset. Who are you to forgive sin? Jesus said, if you think that's something, watch this. Take up your cross or take up your mat that you're laying on and stand up and walk. And the man got up and they couldn't say a word. Why? Because he was strange. He represented God. And when you're representing God, some people don't like you just because you think you're one of those holy folk. Well, no, I don't think I am. I know I am.
So Jesus was a little bit strange to the religious leaders. He was strange to his hometown folk in Nazareth. You think home folk gonna say, "Oh yeah, that's so and so." You know, by the way, down home they don't call me Reverend Coleman. Some of y'all know what they call me, so don't even say it. And when I go home, they look for me to be who? Skeeter. But rather than that, I realize that God has changed me. Jesus went to his hometown in Nazareth. And while he was going to his hometown, he decided he'd go by the synagogue and share with them the scripture. Found the place where it was written, "Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel unto the meek. And he sent me to heal the blind and to give sight and recover those that are broken." And then Jesus stood up, which normally they would stand up and give an interpretation. He said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And the people got mad. Hometown folk. They said, "Is not this the son of Mary? Doesn't his brothers and sisters live among us? Who is this guy?" They got so upset at Jesus that they took him to the cliff, which the city of Nazareth sits on, and they took him to the cliff and were going to throw him off. Imagine that. And here we are singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And his hometown folk, "We can't stand him." Why? He was different. Let me tell you something else. When you accept Christ in your heart, you get on your job and people think you're going to fit right in. But you got this thing on the inside of you called conviction. Everybody say conviction. So you got this thing on the inside of you that says, "I'm not going to do what everybody else is doing. I'm going to do things God's way. I'm not going to take toilet paper out of the stockroom and carry it home with me." By the way, when I was a CEO at one of the agencies that I served at, I noticed that our toilet paper always seemed to go down a certain time of the month. I couldn't figure out what was happening. Now, I didn't put a camera in there, but I did notice some people bringing big bags to office and carrying, you know, they bring them empty, but they left full. You're going to be misunderstood, because people will think that you're strange. But the other thing about it, the Roman authorities thought that he was a threat. Why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus didn't just say, "I've come to do the work of God." He said, "I'm a king. I'm a king." And to Caesar, to the Roman authorities, that meant that Jesus was this threat. We got to watch him. You don't feel like folk watching you, keeping an eye on you, spying on you? Well, don't get paranoid. Just keep on doing what you're doing. Because I've learned, you know, you spend time trying to worry about who's watching you, who's, you know, you never get done what you need done. "Why are they watching me?" You know, they all thought that Jesus was unusual, and even his family members felt that Christ was unusual. He was strange. As a matter of fact, one time his family members wanted to meet with him. Said, and so the elders were saying, "Hey, Jesus, your mother, your brothers, they're here." And they wanted to talk to him, according to the Gospel of Mark. They wanted to talk to him because they felt he was beside himself. Now, if you all don't know what that term means, beside himself, in the old King James, that they thought that he was a little bit, you know, something happened up here. They thought he had lost his mind. So we gotta take him home, get him straight, then he can go back out there and do his evangelistic work and quit meddling in folks' business. That's what they wanted Jesus to do. And so Jesus said, "Who is my mother? Who is my father?" "Those that do the will of Almighty God, the same as my mother, my father, and my brother." So, ladies and gentlemen, Look around this church. Look around, folks. You probably some folks you ain't seen today. Wave at them, you know. But you all are strange people. To the world, you go to church, you pay your tithe, you give your gifts, you sing songs, and you worship, and people will tell you, I don't even see your God. How do you know he's real? Well, I'm going to get into that, because there are a lot of people that really can't answer the world. They don't have a reason. And then some people, and the real danger of this thing is, when you start into being like the world and bringing that into the church, now you've got a real problem, because you're trying to identify your Christianity on worldly terms. You've left the gospel. You're no longer committed to the truth of God. Now you're saying, well, we got to do this to appeal to folk. You know, we got to have this in order to do that. You know, I remember one time, I'm going to tell y'all this, then I'm going back to my sermon. I know, I got a million stories to tell you. But I remember, Al, I remember going up to Washington, D.C., and we were supposed to go to a party. Where the party at? Oh, it's at such and such a church on such and such street. Wait a minute, hold up. I wasn't saved, but I knew something was wrong with that. And so we went to this thing called a cabaret. Everybody bring their own bag. You know, you bring your own bag. I'm sitting in church. I can't even drink. Because I'm looking around. I'm thinking, man, what are you supposed to be doing? Down at the corner on the, at the tree. Yeah, we can do it there. But in here, I'm shaking like a leaf. And folk on the floor, they just getting down. They just down, carrying on. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, are y'all crazy? This is a church. I'm freaking out. I'm saying to myself, why in the world are they doing this in a church? And it wasn't long after that before I got saved. I started to understand. You don't just drag anything up into the church. Amen. And call it holy. You got to do it according to what the Bible says.
You old-fashioned.
Well, let me be old-fashioned then. I'm going to obey God's word. How many of y'all stay with me? Y'all stay with me? So if Jesus is strange, if we in the world don't know him, how can we know him? Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except he draw him. So your very presence, the very fact that you trust in God is based on something that God did. He initiated the action whereby now you have a relationship with him. He drew you. How many of y'all have been fishing? You go fishing, you know, you draw something in. Christ hooked you, and then he started drawing you in so that he could claim you for his own. Matter of fact, he said to the disciples, follow me and I'm going to make you what? Fishers of men. I'm going to give you something that's going to be so attractive that other people will get hooked and they'll put their trust in you. That's why I'm here today. I got hooked. My mother was an evangelist and she preached to me. Every time I come home, she preached to me and said, I'm going to tell you what the Bible said. And oh God, I'd be half tanked up and I have to get on my knees and, oh God, don't kill me tonight. I'm going to get it together in the morning. God looked beyond my fault and saw my need. He looked beyond your fault and saw your need. God graciously, gloriously blessed you so that now you are a child of God. All because he drew you in. Amen. All right, so now let's look at something. What does Jesus mean when he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must take up his cross, what, daily? You got to do that every day. And follow him. What did he mean by that? How can we be a better disciple? That's really the underlying question that we have to ask ourselves. And if the world thinks I'm strange, then What are some of the things about me that they need to know that I will not apologize for? I will stand boldly and say, this is who I am. Because when I was in darkness, nobody heard me but God. When I was at the point of sickness and then nobody could deliver me but God. When I had needs in my family, had financial situations going on, nobody heard me but God. And people ask me, why are you going to serve him? Because nobody delivered me but Jesus. And I'm so glad that his love lifted me. That's what I get excited about. That's what really stirs me up, is because I know what he did for me. No, I can't see him with my eyes, but I sure enough know him with my heart and soul. How many of y'all can say amen to that? All right, so what is Luke talking about? What is he telling us to do? First of all, I don't want you to think of strange as being weird. I did a little research, and the Greek word has to do with alien, or what we might call pilgrim. You ever heard that word? Matter of fact, we used to sing an old gospel song in the church. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger traveling through this barren land. Y'all remember that? Old times. What were they saying? They were saying, we are strangers. We are aliens. We're here, but this is not where we belong. We have another place that we came from. Did you not know that when you were born of God, you were born into a different kingdom? We have a different king, and his name is Jesus. I remember serving over in South Korea, the Korean nationals that we work with would ask me, hey, Kaliman, that's what they call me, Kaliman, where are you from? I said, I'm from Virginia. Where in Virginia? I said, a little farm, a place called Scottsboro. How big your farm? I said, just a little farm. It's just got 60-some acres. Oh, they said, oh. Real estate in Korea was very, you know, not everybody could own real estate. I said, oh, you from a big place? No, not really. I didn't think it was. But then when I thought about what they had and what I had, I said, great day, I am from a big place. But did you not know that this place called heaven, huge. As a matter of fact, it has no limit. If you try to measure it by acres, it would just go on and on and on. And all of it is glorious. I said, all of it is glorious. That's the place where we belong. That's the place where we're going one of these days when we cease to be down here. We're going up there in glory where it's unlimited. Jesus said the mansions. He said, in my Father's house, we got many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. So good news is today that you all, while you're strange, you're not weird. Okay? I know folks say you look weird, but at least that's what they tell me. Man, you look weird. Okay. But we are pilgrims from another place, under a different king. We're not of the world, but we're of Christ. So what are the things that we can say before I close today? What are five strange things about what it means to be a believer in Christ? Number one, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't serve God based on what we can see. Physical evidence is not a requirement of faith. We simply trust God. Well, how you know God's going to come through? I just trust him. And let me ask you a question. Has he ever let you down? So what it means to be a believer is that you are walking with the anticipation that God will provide for your every need. Now, I want to ask you a question. Look back where you started your walk, and has God ever let you down? Now, he may not have come when you wanted him to, but was it in your own time? Can you give him some thanks and praise because he has always been on time? Even when at the moment I thought that he had let me down because he did not give me what I had asked him for, I waited still on God and he gave me something better than what I had anticipated. Can I get a witness in here? You're walking by faith If people tell you, show me your God, you tell them, watch my walk and I'll show you my God. Watch how he has impacted my life, and I'll show you the reality that Christ is real on the inside. What I used to do, I don't do that anymore because something different has impacted me. Something different has taken control of my life. The Holy Spirit has got a hold of me. And now, because I'm walking by the Spirit, I know that God is real. You can sit there and you can read your Bible. And while others would read it and say, well, I don't know about this, that's because they'd never practice it. But when God starts prompting you and said, do this now, trust me now. When God says, I'm going to be with you. And when the Lord whispers to you, when you go to the doctor's appointment, I'm going to be there with you. When he whispers to you, when you go to that bank and ask them to help you out, I'm going to be with you. When you're in a situation where your family seems to be in chaos and God says, be still. Trust me. I'm going to be with you. God always comes through. Why? Because you trust him by faith and you're walking by faith. Not only that, people say we're strange because of our faith. Well, we're also strange because we have this thing about sin. We have this thing about sin. What does it say about sin? And it should be 1 John 3 and verse 6. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that Reverend Coleman is perfect? I didn't tell you that. Don't even write it on your paper. Reverend Coleman said he's perfect. Scratch through that. You and I know that as humans, we're at a state now where we're trying to do right, but sometimes we don't always do right. Am I right? You don't do it intentionally. So what is John telling us? Whoever practices sin, practice sin. Now, I know something about that. We plan to do wrong. All right? When we were in the world, we planned to do certain things that were ungodly. We knew that they were ungodly, and we did them. But now, as a Christian, it's in our heart to want to do what's right. I don't just want to do people wrong or just for the fun of it, to see how much misery I can cause in their life. I used to have a terrible temper. And I'm so glad that Christ came into my life and healed me of that. Does that mean I don't have a temper now? Well, but my point is, you have now the power of God that holds you back to don't say that. Don't do that. Do not. Just turn. How many of y'all had that happen to you? So we don't practice sin. You're a believer and people are around you doing wrong and they indulge in it and they say, ain't nothing wrong with this. You say to yourself, something's not right. I just don't feel right about this. I don't want to hurt God. I don't want to get to a place where now I'm offending him. That's what you do when you practice sin. You offend God. And John says you haven't even met him if you're so comfortable in sin. I don't know about you, but you become a child of God. You develop this huge thing called conscience. How many of y'all got a conscience? You know, it's April 15th, and you're filling out your taxes. And so you think in your mind, I'm just going to put this down there, and you know it's wrong, and the Lord lets you know that's wrong. Say amen, somebody. But my point is that we are now led by God, and we don't practice sin because God is in our life. He's the one that we're following. We have a different way. People call it old-fashioned, but you know what? It doesn't have to be new to be good. It's simply the righteousness of God. And the amazing thing is that when you were born of God, the righteousness of God was brought into your life by the presence of the Holy Spirit so that the things that you do, you don't do them of your own volition. You do it because you're being directed. You're being directed. Isn't that wonderful? And people say we're strange. Now, the third thing about being strange or being a believer in Christ that people say is strange, well, we believe in this thing called judgment. By the way, how many of y'all believe in a judgment? Believe in a judgment, okay. Bible says it's going to happen, right? Well, it's been 2,000 years, and they still say it's going to happen. It ain't happened yet. I mean, it says that Jesus has appointed, God appointed him, appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. Who is that man? Jesus. The same Lord is going to be judged. And that day is coming. Whom is ordained, whereof he has given us assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. The proof of judgment is the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Isn't that good news? Now, why is God going to judge the world? He's going to judge the world because people have not ceased to do the wrong that they've been doing. And he mentions one passage in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, they were eating and the drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were continuing on with their life until the day that the flood came and washed them all away. He said, so shall the Son of Man come in what? Like manner. Which means not only is it going to be a judgment, it's going to be sudden. Blink of an eye. So what are we to do? We are to live as if the judgment could happen any day.
Amen.
You know what I've learned over time? I'm going to tell you all this, and I'm going to get ready to go to my seat. I know I told you that 5 minutes ago. I mean it now. If I look at my life when I was in the world and look at my life as where I am now, I know I'm not where I could be, not even where I should be. Oh, but when I look back and I see where God brought me from, I thank God I'm not where I used to be. Any folk in here know what I'm talking about? He brought me from a long way. And people wonder, why do you like paying your tithes to the church? I used to give more than that to the world. I gave the world just about everything. I get prayed on Friday. By Friday night, I didn't have 2 pennies to rub together. Why? Broke. Now that I've made him Lord of my life and I believe in his system of giving, God, Monday morning, man, I still got money in my pocket. Amen. Glory be to God. And that's why I love giving to the church. That's why I'm not going to stand up here and tell people, y'all got a tithe, y'all got a tithe. If you don't want to give, keep your money in your pocket. But just know it ain't your money. God going to get his money one way or the other. So I give because I love Christ. I give because I believe in his work. I give because it honors him. It honors him. Amen. I teach my kids, if you want to learn God's system of finances, start tithing. If you want to know God's system of finances, start honoring him with your substance and watch what he does with the rest of it.
Amen.
You think he's out of miracle? Oh, no. He could take that little dollar you got. Lord, I don't see how this is going to work. And God will work it out. Won't he do it? And the thing I love about the attitude here at Crossroad, we give joyfully. We give joyfully. We give because we enjoy it.
Yes.
That's the way you should do, because when you really love God, you won't have any problem saying, Lord, this is to honor you.
Yes.
Let me move on. Point number 4, in case you're counting. So we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't practice sin. We believe in God's judgment, but we also express God's joy. We express God's joy, even when bad things happen. I watched yesterday the expression of family members and the joy that was on their face. They were at a funeral service, and yet they had smiles on their face. Why? Because their mother loved Jesus, lived her life based on the teachings of Jesus and following him, and they had joy because she had shared that faith with them. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's all about. You got a lot of people that love the grab and go attitude. If I get this, then I'm going to be happy. If I get that, then I'm going to be happy. If I get me a boat and go up to the lake, then I'm going to be happy. I'm going to live. And you get up on the lake and find out your problem followed you up there to the lake. What does James say? Count it all joy. Even when you have trials and testings of your faith, knowing that the testing of your faith, it works patience. And patience, when it has its perfect work, makes you complete in Christ. This joy that you have right now doesn't depend on the sun shining tomorrow, doesn't depend on everything going your way. It depends on that faith that's now in your heart. How many of y'all have ever been at the point of where life had treated you so poorly that you started shaking your head and saying, I don't know. But then all of a sudden you felt overwhelmed by the presence of God. How many of y'all ever had that to happen? And you said within your heart, God's going to make a way somehow. You had, ladies and gentlemen, that's joy. Doesn't mean to be laughing all the time. It means to have that quiet confidence that God's going to work this thing out. And if I don't say anything else to you on this Sunday, I want to say this to you. Whatever you're going through in your life, God is going to work it out if you just simply trust him and believe him and leave it up to the Lord. Bring your burden to the Lord, and it says, leave it there and watch God work. Watch God work. Then lastly, not only do we have faith, we don't believe in the practice of sin. We don't believe, or we do believe in God's judgment. We have joy. But the other thing that is in our life is that we live to worship God. We live to worship God. How many of y'all are living to worship God? I had to make a decision. My wife and I had to make a decision. What are we going to do when we retire? What are we going to do? Well, you know, both of us, you know, we gave up our jobs, 40-hour week jobs, and, you know, started just working here in the church. But we made a decision that God is at the center of our house. Over our little mantle that we got in our house right now, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If people come in, that's the first thing they see. Now, why'd I do that? So I'm religious? No, Jesus really gave us the key. He talked about true worship. True worshipers of God. True worshipers of God don't have to pick a place. They just have a condition of in their heart. A true worshiper can worship God anywhere. Can praise him anywhere. Can believe and trust in him anywhere. And because of that, people will say that you're strange. You're strange. As a matter of fact, if you want to follow the tradition of people being strange, David was strange. Why, everybody else was afraid to say the name of God because they didn't want to somehow say it wrong, and so they wouldn't say the name of God. David would say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Then he said one other place when he was in a battle, he said, the Lord is my battle axe. Now, why is he calling God his battle axe? Because every time he needed God, the Lord would show up. He learned that God was somebody that walked with you. And so he developed an attitude, Lord, every time you bless me, I'm going to praise you. So God would bless him, and he praised him. Amen. The Lord would work in his life, and he'd give him glory. Yes. Now, unlike some folk, they just fold their arm and act like God ain't did nothing for you. But if he brought you from a mighty long way, the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why do I love Jesus? I love him because he's a wonderful God. Amen. I love him because I want to worship him. Yes. I want to give him everything I've got. You know why? Because he gave me every drop of blood that he had. Amen. On that old rugged cross, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't have to go there. As a matter of fact, the very nails that were holding him to the cross were made by him. And he could have spoken to the nails and said, how dare you hold me to this cross? But love held him there. Yes. And I'll tell you what else. When nothing else could help, love lifted you. You were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. And the song says, sinking to rise no more. They said when you go down for the third time, that's it. But ladies and gentlemen, when you go down and you call on the name of Jesus, won't he bring you out? Won't he deliver you? Now, you're telling me that we got to get sophisticated in our praise? No, I'm going to lift my hands to him. I'm going to lift my voice to him. I'm going to sing to him. I'm going to be like David and say, the Lord has been the light of my life. He's everything that I have. He's my hope. He's my joy. He's everything to me. When he got to praising God, he said, now I'm going to bless him three times a day. But he found out that blessing him three times a day was not enough. So he wrote another song, said, I'm going to bless him seven times a day. Then he found out that seven times was not enough. And then he wrote Psalm 34. He said, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. Praise him when the sun go down. Praise him when folks staring at you. Praise him when folks with, amen, don't believe. Keep on praising him. Keep on believing him. Keep on trusting him, because you know what? He is your way maker. He is your burden bearer. He is your friend. He's the one that's going to bring you over. And guess what? He's my Savior. And if I don't praise him, who will? Ain't no rock going to get in my place, because I love him. Stand on your feet as we close. Simple prayer. I want us all to pray this prayer together. Say it with me. Dear God, help me always to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, even when I don't fully understand your will. May I always trust your heart. Amen. Amen. I want to extend the invitation. If there be one today, maybe you don't know Christ and you want to believe in him, we give you an invitation. If you're lost, Jesus will find you. By the way, some of you in this church today with unforgiveness in your heart. You don't have that forgiveness. I want to ask you a simple question. Is that God or is that you? If it's you, take it to him. Put it at his feet and say, Lord, please forgive me. Will you do that? Those that are online, if you want to write to us, crossroadbc.com. Go to our website, pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'll be able to help you and share with you in your faith. Amen. Altar's open. The altar's open. There be one. Say choir.
And if this message has been a blessing to you, sometimes you leave a note for the pastor and let him know how much you appreciate the message and the impact that it can have on your life and on in my life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us to open our hearts and to receive your word with thanksgiving. Word will enable us as we leave here today to go out and to encourage others as we hear in the sermon, in the message, to take up my cross, your cross, and follow you. And part of that, Lord, is to give us the privilege of giving back to you what belongs to you in the first place. And that we ask that you bless the offering, bless it, so that those who do not have the opportunity to be here in the sanctuary may hear your word proclaim and receive Jesus. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this opportunity. And now as we leave here today, we ask and we say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrow.